baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Good morning. It is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon kind of day. Of course, we do this every single week where we kind of do our mailbag and comb through all the interactions throughout the week. We go on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. If you want to reach out there, you can also get a hold of us on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. And of course, our Discord is always hustling and bustling. There is a link in the show notes, and that is always free. We thank all of you who have interacted with us over the week. Of course, we comb through all the comments on both our clips channel, which, by the way, is growing substantially every single day. So thank you very much to everyone who is checking us out on our clips channel and has hit that subscribe button. It definitely helps us. And then, of course, you could always, like I said, reach out through DMing us on any of those platforms if you want to get a hold of us one-on-one. Let's get into it because we have all sorts of comments to comb through here. My name is Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is The Walk-Off. Let's get into it, my dude.
Okay. I just want to first shout out the audio listeners.
Yes.
Because they've been really coming through in this off season. We've been floating around 200 downloads on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for the better part of this year. But our most recent episode from last Friday, we hit 500 downloads out of nowhere.
Amazing.
That's by far and away our most downloaded audio podcast. So tip of the hat to all you folks. I don't know where that came from, but welcome.
Another little tip of the hat to our audio listeners, which we are gaining more and more constantly, which is very much appreciated. But I know that Adam was giving me the stats the other day, and we are up 700% on downloads from this time last year audio wise. So thank you so very much, everyone out there. Like, we're at the point where we're getting thousands and thousands of downloads a month. You know, our individual episodes, like Adam just said, are climbing every time that we release it. So again, just I know sometimes we forget to say thank you to the audio folks, but you are not forgotten, and we do appreciate you.
Yes. All right, let's get into the comments here. First one comes in from Scott Carter. Says, what free agent starter most likely to not pitch a single game in 2023 due to injury? That is who we are going to sign.
Hey, I'd be all right with Jacob DeGrom.
You know? Hey, there you go. All right. But 2024, we're all set. All right.
Yeah.
Imagine getting Ryu back healthy. DeGrom, Tiedemann's making his debut. Man, all right. I'm salivating. Next one comes in from Twitter. At True Blue Jays Fan 7. Hey guys, I'm getting so impatient for something to happen.
Right.
How much longer till we see the Blue Jays get something done?
Okay, so I love this comment because I think that this is a sentiment shared by a lot of fans, not just Jays fans, but baseball fans around the league. And the answer to that is there's a question mark. However, there are a few things here that should tip the scales and start the action, if you will, when it comes to free agent signings and stuff. Number one, all teams must have their 40-man roster locked in by the end of today. So we talked about the Rule 5 draft yesterday on the episode we were doing. We talked about the fact that the Rule 5 draft is going to be done December 7th at the end of the winter meetings, and that will really kick things off. But I think even just having these teams needing to make their final decisions on who they are keeping on their 40-man is going to allow these front offices to sort of move forward with outside decision making. So we could see some action as soon as tomorrow, in all honesty, now that these teams have kind of, their hand has been forced into more or less the direction they want to go. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, who knows, right, Adam? I mean, we watched last year, we talked about when is it going to happen? A little different circumstances with the lockout and such. Right. And of course, we saw a lot of movement off the top and then no movement for months and months and months. But yeah, hopefully shortly, I guess, is the answer there. True Blue Jays fan.
Well, it's so funny because like today is the day for qualifying offers, the deadline. So while we're talking this, I just pulled up, you know, MLB on Twitter, right? Let's have a search, see if there's anything to announce, right? Like any sort of indication that momentum might start building, right? And the first one listed here is a John Morosi tweet, which I'll pull up here. Hashtag Mariners have discussed trade possibilities with multiple teams in recent days. Sources say they're willing to move Jesse Winker and either Chris Flexen or Marco Gonzalez. To this point, they are not including Winker and a starter in the same trade proposal, however. And then, you know what my first gut instinct reaction to this was when I read it, Scott?
No shit.
No. Is this the real John Morosi?
And I think, the real John Morosi please stand up?
And I think that's important for us to keep in mind for the next 4 months of baseball offseason, is that a blue check mark doesn't really mean the same thing anymore. So even if you, I mean, we got belfed many times last season with fake Jeff
Passan
tweets.
Hate that term, but yes, move along. Yes.
So, and that was before this blue check mark shenanigans came into play. So double check any tweets you read before you get too excited or too frustrated. There's going to be a lot of trolls out there over the next couple months. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Speaking of John Morosi, I know that he mentioned that the Blue Jays and the Mariners may be a fit. Of course, Chris Flexen, probably a number five starter, right? Guy who would fill out the bottom end of the rotation. Definitely not a dude that I'm like, yes, let's go to Chris Flexen, especially for the cost that John Morosi was saying, which would have been Teoscar Hernandez, both of them on expiring contracts, both free agents at the end of 2023. However, to give up a bat like Teoscar, you know, a silver slugger for a bottom end of the rotation starter, I would rather see them. I think that they can pull that off without needing to give up Teoscar.
Agreed. I think he needs to be part of a lefty bat solution or as a piece of a package that gets us a high tier starter for sure. Yes,
exactly. Jesse Winker, by the way, is a very interesting buy low, high ceiling type of guy. I don't know if the Mariners would give him up for almost nothing. It probably would take a little, but I mean,
you really combined your cliches there. Buy low, high ceiling. I think it's a low floor, high ceiling, or a buy low, sell high. But we combined them.
Mixed them both.
Buy low, yes. High ceiling. All right,
Adam. Let me kick my cat down the road. All right.
The usual term is a bounce back candidate. But yes, a buy low, high ceiling. Put it on a shirt. Let's go. All right. Before we move on to the next one, here's a question for you, Scott.
Sure.
Is Ronald Acuna Jr. the new Jose Ramirez? Is he going to just haunt Blue Jays all offseason with dreams of Ronald Acuna Jr.? Or does he not get you excited the same way? Or is this all just
speculation-based
anyway?
It's all speculation. I just don't see
how
it benefits both teams. You know, like I'm having a hard time buying in. Jose Ramirez I bought in because I could see the value on both teams. The reasoning made so much sense, right? With the
impending free agency, they could really afford. Who saw a sweetheart hometown discount coming? Right? No, okay, good, good, good. I really hope this Ronald Acuna Jr. stuff we can put to bed once and for all as soon as possible.
You want to know something interesting here, buddy?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not gonna tell you the guy's name here because he asked me not to, but. So I had a guy DM me on Twitter. He's from Ohio and his buddy actually.
Am I able to guess? Can I have one guess at who it is at the end?
Sure.
Okay.
There's no
it's
way.
It's just funner for me. It's just funner for me if I get to guess. Okay.
Okay. So he's from Ohio, and his buddy actually works in the Guardians marketing section. And normally they're not going to include the marketing section in any sort of trade talks, but because the season was about to start last year, they let the marketing people know that this was something that might be happening, which was that Jose Ramirez could go to the Blue Jays if they don't get him signed to the contract that they wound up getting done. And the deal was pretty much a done deal. It was going to be Gurriel, Aroldis Martinez, Alejandro Kirk, and some prospects. And Espinal might have been in there as well, plus some cash considerations, and Pearson's name was also mentioned. Anyways, there was a package like that that was pretty much on the table. Whether you believe it or not, I thought it was kind of cool that this guy was like, yeah, like this was a done deal up until it wasn't.
Interesting. Well, would you have done that deal if that was the deal? If that's true, would you have done it?
Yeah.
I think so. I would have too. Okay, I get to guess. You said he's from Ohio?
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
Okay, you actually got it. Wow.
Fuck. Sorry to out you, Dave. Friend of the show, Dave Chappelle. Our inside source. So. All right. Let's move on from there then, shall we? All right. Next one comes in from Jolting Zed. Says, I'm not trading Alejandro Kirk because of Alek Manoah. That's the only reason. I'm not pissing him off, trading away his best friend and having Manoah walk. I get that it's a business, but man, consider that. I just can't risk it. If the Blue Jays were to deal one of their catchers, it has to be either Jansen or Moreno. And then a follow-up comment from someone else. So Joey Schatz responded to that and said, one could say the same thing about trading away a corner outfielder, Gurriel or Hernandez, and being one of Vlad's besties. Definitely somebody losing a friend this winter.
That's a very astute observation, is that within any clubhouse, there's going to be relationships that are strong, and there's going to be people that are greatly affected if someone has moved in trade. And I think to Blue Jays fans put so much admiration and respect on Alek Manoah, as they should. Cy Young candidate this year, nominated, and is going to give Verlander a run for his money. I don't think he'll do it, but nonetheless, right? But one aspect that that comes up time and time again is they don't really give Manoah the kudos I think he deserves for his mental fortitude, the drive within him to be the best. And I truly don't believe Alek Manoah at 24 is a man who would let something like a trade of a catcher derail his career at this point. He's pitched a year and a half in the big leagues. Do you know what kind of red flag that sends up if this is what derails him? And and think back, right? Have we ever seen an obstacle that this man hasn't overcome? Have we ever seen something put in his way that has mentally derailed him? We haven't. And he's been put in some big time situations. I completely understand the sentiment not to trade his bestie, but that's the game, man. And I really can't see it affecting him like people are projecting it would.
Yeah. Also, not to throw any cold water on the relationship that he has with Alejandro Kirk, but it has been something that has blossomed over the last year and a half. This is not something like, we could speculate all day on how close are Vlad and Bo anymore. But they came up together, right? So if they were a best friend situation that we wanted to break up, I'd listen to that a little more, but I still tend to stand with what you're saying. But with Kirk and Manoah, they didn't grow up together. They're not like childhood friends. Like Chris Beck, catcher in the organization, literally grew up with Alek Manoah. right? They would hang out with each other in grade school.
Yeah.
If that was the case, maybe, but even then I don't buy it.
Now I want to give another example here from outside the sport of baseball, but I think Toronto fans are well aware of the relationship between DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry back in the 2015 to 2019 zone, right? They were best friends, and it was a real brother-like relationship that was the centerpiece of that Raptors. And Masai Ujiri stepped out on a limb, and he traded DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
And yes, Kyle Lowry was furious. He was incredibly upset. And then you know what he did? He buckled down and he went out and he won an NBA championship. This is what mentally strong athletes do. And I truly believe Alek Manoah is in that category.
Yeah, I think of course it just, I'm right there with you. For me, the
by the way, I'm not saying trade Kirk either. I'm just saying Alek Manoah is able to handle it if that's the direction.
And if he's not, total speculation here. If he's not, we don't want anything to do with him. Like, if that's what it's going to be, and we're going to have to re-sign Ryu to another long-term deal because him and Manoah are sushi pals in Toronto. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, we got to let Chatwood go. No, I don't care how much they get along.
Yeah.
It is what it is, right? It is a business. So anyways, just that.
Excellent comment, though. And I appreciate the sentiment.
Very astute observation from Joey. So thank you to both of you. Next one, kind of related to that. This one made me laugh, Scott, because there was a bunch of definitelys and ors in this comment. And definitelys and ors don't tend to go together. So let's have a read here. So from Corsario 59 says, I'm okay with not offering Stripling a qualifying offer and trading Kirk, Teoscar, Gurriel, and other Jays. But if Shapiro, Atkins, and the Jays ownership and management are going to do that, then they, in capital letters, had better deliver Jays Nation what they deserve, a DeGrom or a Verlander, and definitely Rodon. Or definitely Burns. Lefty reliever, Will Smith. Definitely a Judge. Or definitely a Nemo. And a Bellinger. Both lefty bats. And definitely Correa. Or definitely Trey Turner. Then move Bichette to second. Then Jays fans would be okay with losing Stripling, Kirk, Teoscar, Gurriel, and other Jays. This just made me laugh. So, I appreciate the passion, for one.
No, number one, I mean, I get what he's saying. There's a shorter way to say that, but yes. I agree with him. I agree with him. Listen, if you're going to move high-end talent, you better be getting high-end talent in return.
Absolutely.
And it better be bolstering the lineup in the areas of need that you're after, right? Like, that's basically what he's saying. And I love that he brought up Corbin Burns, because honestly, man, the Milwaukee Brewers is such an interesting trade candidate for this Blue Jays team. The Brewers are constantly an organization that refuses to rebuild. They're always in a playoff hunt. They're a small market team with a savvy front office that is always looking for value. And who has value? Guess what? Alejandro Kirk has all sorts of value. Who on that team is running out of contract space? Well, think of Brandon Woodruff, right? Brandon Woodruff would be, he would be right in there with Manoah and Gausman as the number one pitcher. It would be a 3-1-A's basically, unless Manoah takes another step. And maybe I'm full of shit because he was just nominated for a Cy Young. So maybe we already got that for sure. Number one, right? Corbin Burns would be a little bit more of a shakeup. Obviously, he's got, I think he's under contract for three more years, and the money owed to him is very little. So you would need to give up quite a package to get a guy like that. This is a dude that's probably going to take Alejandro Kirk and Ricky Tiedemann type of idea. But I totally get where, what was it? Corsairi 59.
Corsario, yeah.
Corsario 59. You know, I get where he's coming, which is if you're going to move a guy like Alejandro Kirk, a silver slugger, by the way, and a big congrats to Kirk on winning that. a gentleman who is in the top five in baseball for framing. Just a really outright superstar of a catcher. So if you're going to move a guy like that, I totally agree. You better be getting a stud in return. And I trust this front office with the Blue Jays to do that. I don't, you know, Shapiro and Atkins are not perfect, but also they're, if anything, they're all about asset management, right? So if anything, it's like, will they have the guts to make that sort of push your chips in type of move?
We'll see. They put their chips in last year on Jose Berríos. All right. Let's pivot, because the next one is about Jose Berríos.
Okay.
So next one comes in from Matthew Rupoli. Says, why is Jose Berríos so quickly being tossed aside as a bottom rotation arm? 12 months ago, Jays fans were raving about how good that contract is slash was. Let's be more optimistic about 2023 before we make drastic judgment. Where do you fall on Jose Berríos? Because I wasn't excited about the trade when we made it. I was sad when we got rid of Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson. Now, in hindsight, those prospects haven't exactly made the next step. So to be fair there, what is it about Jose Berríos that gets you excited, Scott, or does anything? Because I'm looking at his career numbers and I just don't get it. I don't. Like, you know, his career ERA is a 4.24.
What gets me excited about Jose Berríos is that August and September we watched in 2021. He can be absolutely dominant. He has the stuff to carry a team, to carry a starting staff. Have we seen it for extended periods of time throughout his career? No, we haven't. It always seems to come in these 2 to 3 month windows. This, without a doubt, has been his worst season of his career, 2022. I think that truly, with almost no doubt, we're going to see Jose Berríos take a step forward in 2023. It's a real question mark and a toss-up as to what kind of step forward that is. I think, to answer Matthew's question here, fans are very much a what have you done for me lately type. I mean, my God, this is an extreme example, but look, the New York Yankees fans booed Aaron.
Yeah.
Jay's in the same category as that, but that's sports, man. It's what have you done lately? And Jose Berríos had the worst season of his career. So I think more so than a lack of optimism by Jays fans, people are looking at this as realistically as possible and maybe even putting a negative tint on it in the hope that we're pleasantly surprised. Listen, I all the negativity and all of the pessimism that you have, Adam, will be tossed to the wayside in June, if all of a sudden he's leading the team in ERA and looks like that stud number one, and we're both going to be like, you know what? Pete Walker did it again, baby. We figured it out. We now have three number one pitchers. Like, you know, fans' emotions change on a dime, and I don't think this front office has given up on him in any way. Although I do think
We have too many years left to give up.
Exactly. But I do think that this front office is going to take an approach of, what if Jose Berríos is a number four? And I think that's the approach they need to take, which would mean bolstering this starting staff probably through trade, because we've talked about the amount of money already invested in the starting rotation. So they need a low cost option. We'll see what happens. I don't think that truly anyone in Jay's fandom or the front office has actually given up on Jose Berríos, but I do think that expectations have been tempered.
I think you're right.
And Mantis Toboggan just piped up in the chat here with a very interesting little stat. Without Without his rookie year, Berríos's career ERA is mid threes. And he's always been a workhorse for innings, which is very, very true. And he's always been very healthy. The guy goes out there and he pitches a full season, which there is definitely value in.
All right, well, I'll continue to be as optimistic as I can with Jose Berríos. I'll enjoy the good starts when we get him, but plenty of reason to be tempering expectations. Let's put it that way.
Mantis then piped up with a second comment. He's like, that being said, this year he sucked. Love you guys. Thanks, Mantis.
All right. Let's move on then from there. Next one comes in from Twitter. Darian416 DM'd us and asked, hey guys, who do you think gets the Jays' biggest package back, Moreno or Kirk? I don't think Jansen gets the same return, so which one would?
I think he's probably correct on that aspect. I think Jansen probably does get the least return of all three catchers. I mean...
Okay, I want to jump in right there before we just dismiss Jansen least return. I would say yes, if we're looking at MLB ready talent, I would say yes. If the Jays weren't in a competitive window and a team like the Dodgers or the Astros, who have three catchers all heading to free agency, were interested in a catcher that can help them win right now, I bet you the prospect capital that we could get back for Danny Jansen
would be impressive.
Would be pretty impressive. That's not what we're interested in, though. And I don't think anybody who's interested in Danny Jansen is willing to give up a core piece of their team anyways, right? So, but I just want to put that out there. Do you agree with me?
No, and I 100% agree with you. I know I have lots of friends who are big Blue Jays fans that we get into arguments with all the time because I value experience so much in the catching position. I really do. And I know it's an intangible, and I know that there's so many stat heads who get so frustrated with that because it is an intangible value and, you know, analytic driven minds love to see that number on paper, and experience doesn't do that. But my God, do I ever respect the amount of time it takes to gain that major league experience. And the fact that Danny has toiled away and put 5 years in at this point, I truly do believe he's the guy we need as that starting catcher. But to answer Darian's question, personally, I think I don't even think it's debatable. I think Alejandro Kirk by far has the most value. He is one of the best catchers in Major League Baseball. His framing is fantastic. Not that it's going to matter in a year when robo-umps come in, but anyways, you know, he's got a decent arm on him and he hits for average. Like, think about how insane that is out of a catcher. And yes, Alejandro Kirk is about as slow as they come, but my goodness, you can put him anywhere in the batting order. You can hit him second. You can hit him eighth. He's going to get on base. He's going to spray the ball around the field. And he won a Silver Slugger this year, which means he was the best offensive catcher in the American League. Like, let's be serious. How can that not have the most value? And I think Moreno has a ton of value, but he's got to prove himself still to get that extra bump to be in Kirk's level.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And again, I just keep coming back to this. I know this is such a cop-out of an answer, but it just comes back to, what does the other side value more?
Yeah.
You know, and if we could find a team, like if 18 teams value Kirk more, but two teams value Moreno much more, then that's the trade you make. You know, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So. No, I'm with you, man. It doesn't matter if the Blue Jays front office feels Kirk has more value. If they're going to get more from a team out of Moreno, then that answers that question. Yeah.
All right. Good question. Thank you for that one, Darian. Next one, kind of related. Ryan Online says, what about Jansen to Tampa for Jeffrey Springs? They have similar value on baseball trade values for whatever that's worth. We kind of talked about this yesterday, Scott, but I never, want nothing ever, to do with
ever.
Trading.
I think
with
the rule is never, ever, 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 ever trade with the Rays.
Yeah. You know, that old childhood saying, right? Eeny, meeny, yeah. Miny, mo, never trade with the Rays.
All right. If the Rays came looking for Jansen, I think that just says Jansen has the most value of all our three catchers.
Yeah. Or they watch this podcast and they're playing 4D chess with us now.
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't that be the dream?
Do you, side note though, Ryan mentions the website baseballtradevalues.com. Do you ever dabble on there?
Yeah. It's a fun little website.
It's a fun. Do you agree with the trade value? Like,
sometimes.
This is where, like, for me, I see other content creators or other networks and stuff, and they're doing, you know, here's a trade proposal for Ronald Acuna Jr. And it's like, well, if we put in Bichette and we see that their baseball trade values are basically even, so that's a fair trade, or, you know, like whatever the case may be. But I think they're so far wrong on so many of these things.
So many baseball fans need to have a number next to it. One boiled down number that kind of defines every little thing. And I know some of the more funny trade proposals that you'll see out there is with the Angels, right? Because you throw Anthony Rendon in there and you literally can almost trade anyone. I think it was Ohtani, Trout, and Rendon for Espinal, and the value worked out the same, right?
Like, no, I know it's so because it is an exploitable system, even if their numbers were accurate. Mm-hmm. You got glasses, you a nerd, you must have grown up playing video games. I played like all the NHL games, you know, NHL 2000 and whatever on the GameCube growing up. I used to always run my franchises in a way where I'm like, oh, I could trade 14 bums from my minor leagues who all have like, you know, a 0.1 thing on the trade value. I could trade that for Joe Sakic and the computer will accept it because it just says, well, the bar says it's even, you know? So it's like, oh, I just traded away my whole farm system of bums for the best player in the league. And I would just do that. And I would just continue and then sign free agents off the scrap heap and then trade those, you know, 10 of those away for Eric Lindros. And I was like, I'm the best GM of all time. Like, why aren't I hired yet? I found a loophole, but it doesn't work that way.
Sports analysts on the video game are like, he has no depth, but what a great front line. First line, really looking good.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. Hack number two, you turn line changes off in the settings. You only need one baby.
No, you only need one line.
All right. This has been Game Corner with Scott and Adam. Let's pivot from there. We got some comments from the Discord here to get to. All right, so SCTI piped up in Discord a few days ago and said, just finishing up the mailbag from this week and started looking up some Espinal stats. I might be wrong on this, but I think he is just a modern version of Ryan Goins with an extra 30 points on his average.
I love that comment. Listen, and that is no disrespect to Santiago Espinal. I truly think that he is probably the best utility bench piece that this team could have. Because for numerous reasons, when he gets hot, he's great and he can play every day. Someone gets injured, you're really not taking that much of a dip down. His defense is phenomenal. He can slide all over the diamond. We've seen him in left. We've seen him in third. We've seen him at short. We've seen him at second. The guy is excellent for the role that he is holding on this team. And I'm going to give him credit. Let's be serious, dude. There are 15 to 20 teams in Major League Baseball right now that if he was a part of their organization, he would be an everyday player.
Yep.
All-star team this year. That goes to show you he has the ability to truly string together 2 to 3 really good months. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this since Santiago Espinal came up, though. The more he plays, the more you see his flaws and the more he is exposed. This was Ryan Goins to a T. Again, I mean this with the utmost respect, because I truly believe Santiago Espinal was and will continue to be a very big contributor to this team as it goes forward, unless they can move him in a trade to a team who he will be an everyday player and get something to fill a need. Nonetheless, I love that comparable of Ryan Goins, and he is. He's a better hitter than Goins ever was. Even more value there. So great comment, SCTI.
Santiago Espinal, as you said, can put together two or three very impressive, I mean that in all sincerity, months of baseball. And for that reason, I do think that he is one of those guys who could have a World Series MVP on his 100% when he retires.
He could be Jeremy Peña, 100%.
Right? So I don't know if he's... I don't think he's ever going to be the guy that you could have as a centerpiece of your team. He's never going to get a mega deal contract, but you, in order to be a World Series winner, need to have those affordable guys, you know, those buy low, high ceiling guys. And, but yeah, he could have a really hot September and a really hot October, you know, if he was like a trade piece or something to a competitive team.
You know who he is? He's Freddy Galvis. He's a guy who would literally be a starter on 70% of the teams.
Yep.
And he might even be a top three guy on a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is the sort of utility dude that is what contending teams need, man.
Yeah, he's a Trey Mancini or a Christian Vasquez or whatever, you know, a guy who...
100%.
A guy who you want to have on your bench. Hope we don't have to use him. And if we do, you know, he could be that guy.
Look at Aldemiz Diaz, who is the utility guy for the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. He was the starting shortstop for the Toronto Blue Jays before he was moved to the Astros. And then he was relegated to the bench, but has been a huge contributing member to that team for years now. And I think that's where Santiago Espinal fits in.
All right. Thanks for that comment in the Discord. Discord is a great place to join and grow your baseball community with some buddies. So there you go. Sticking with the Discord, we had a comment in there or question. I made a post about the walk-off is now on Rumble. And Mustard Tiger summed up, I think, the consensus response to that idea. And it was asking the boomer questions for a friend, but WTF is a Rumble.
Yeah, I was so, the same way. You needed
Scott
to
was the same
it
way.
It's it another platform.
It's another platform. It is another YouTube kind of deal for free thinkers and those types of people. You know, it's one of those anti-censorship kind of platforms, but...
All right.
We're there. We're putting our content out there. There doesn't seem to be much baseball or sports talk there. A lot of it is very political right now. But, you know, a lot of conservative political people watch baseball, like the Blue Jays. Yeah. We're here for all of them. Whether you're a 14-year-old yelling at Scott on Twitter or a conservative Yankees fan calling us words I don't feel comfortable repeating. You know, you're all welcome to like, comment, and subscribe, I think is the point. So... on Rumble, however, and I'll put a link to our channel over there on Rumble, is once we get to the 20 subscribers, we get to claim our custom URL. And I would just love if we could claim rumble.com/BlueJays before the Blue Jays get it. So if you can help us.
Which would be hilarious. What we need, Adam, what we need is Elon Musk to buy YouTube, tank it, and then... Everyone be like, well, what other platforms are there even there?
Yeah, exactly.
Then the Blue Jays buy the URL from us and we sail off into the sunset. Yeah. You never hear from us again.
It's, you know, funniest part of that whole Rumble experience is that Scott.
I don't like it, by the way. I don't like the platform.
It's a very clunky interface. It needs a lot of work. It is not good, but they have a buttload of users over there. So. we got to go where the eyeballs are, and that's just part of the job. What I did find funny, though, is that you messaged me and said, hey, I'm Blue Jays 68 on this. Are you Blue Jays 69? But I also tried to get Blue Jays or Blue Jays fan 69, and it was unavailable. So I went with Blue Jays 70. So Scott nice. And I are Blue Jays fan 68 and 70. Someone out there already got Blue Jays fan 69.
69. So subscribe. No.
Subscribe. Anyways, that was just a stupid thing that made me laugh over the weekend. So check us out on Rumble, I guess, is the big takeaway there. Or just subscribe and then delete the app from your phone. And that's good enough. So, okay, we're going to end on this question or this, I guess, talking point in the Discord. So last week we kind of mentioned, I forget who it was, sent a comment in about viewing recommendations for media right. content in the off season, and we got into a discussion about, I think, Lord of the Rings. You were mm-hmm. a Rings of Power guy on
Rings
Amazon,
of Power,
and I hadn't checked it out yet. Well, did that ever stir up a fervor in the Discord? One of the most heated discussions we've had in a long time,
which is so. Hilarious. And I the mean, discussion that got the most heated was about television and not baseball.
We always I love our how Discord. Civil our Discord is, right? And it's so polite, and it's, you know, it's hard to find 200 plus people on a social media platform anywhere having a civil conversation. So mm-hmm. that's one thing we do love about our Discord. But boy, did it get uncivil when discussing Game of Thrones and House of Dragons and all yes. those types of shows.
Some strong opinions on both sides.
Very strong opinions that made me laugh. So, yeah, come for the baseball talk. Stay for the community. The Discord is a happening place. It is free to join. The link is in the show notes. I just wanted to acknowledge this one comment here. So this came in from Mr. Krister after the Lord of the Rings conversation. They had posted, on an unrelated note, what's everyone's top five favorite shows? Want to see if there's any that I should watch / get into. Scott, I'm not expecting you to put your top five out there right now, but I know Mr. Krister and I think original Blunt Smokin there with the little smiley face on the U
mm-hmm.
Had both been discussing watching Dark on Netflix.
And yes, and
Dark
was,
is one of my all-time favorite shows. So I just want to give some love to Dark. Anybody who's into kind of a thriller, mystery, what the heck is going on here kind of a show. It's 3 seasons, 10 episodes each. So 30 solid hours of content. Did you ever watch Lost when Lost was on, Scott?
I did.
Okay. I did too. And I loved that show for the like, ooh, what's going on this island? And then it kind of just tailed on too long. And it felt like even the writers didn't know where they were going and didn't stick the landing, in my opinion. Dark is not that case. Dark was a good mystery all the way through. It felt very thought out and had a good ending.
Nice.
So I love Dark. 10 out of 10 for Dark. It's definitely in my top 5 list. I don't know
I know,
the other 4 are, but
I know the new Star Wars Andor was getting a lot of pump up there in Discord as well. There were several people who mentioned it as very cool.
Are
also,
you a Star
I
Wars
just
nerd?
Started. I just started watching House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Love it.
Nice.
Great. Right into it.
Very good. All right. Well, when you finish it, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved it too. I'm not saying it ends badly or anything. I also loved it, but.
Right.
I can't be like, oh, what's your thoughts on this person? Because, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Well, that's it. That's it for the mailbag today. We did it. We got to 50 minutes. We nailed the mailbag. So, all right. I'm just waiting for some sort of facial expression in return that says you're going to jump in. And
this is what
off.
You call a soft ending. Gang.
Yeah, this is buy high, sell low kind of an ending. So
that's all right. Well, let's kick this cat down the road. We'll say goodbye to all of you here.
Careful
thank
on
you very
Twitter.
Much.
Don't get belfed.
Yeah, thanks very much, everybody, for all of the interaction over the last week. We couldn't do mailbag without you. Huge apologies to Andy. We're getting so many comments these days that I know we're only scratching the surface. So if we didn't get to yours, don't take it personal, or do. you know, live your best life. Thank you again, everybody.
Take it personal and vent it in the comment section.
Yes, that's right. Really help that algorithm out. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. Join the Discord. The link is in the show notes. It's always free. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.